Welcome to this study. I think it's going to be a study. It's moving into some unveilings that are being brought to view right now. And so, Lord, we come before you, Father, creator of all the universe, in the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, and because of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Blessed Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, how great, how great are you in all your ways, and that you, they're beyond finding out, Lord, but it is the glory of kings to seek the matters out. Lord, I pray that you give me an articulate tongue, and that you anoint this, and that you anoint the ears and the eyes and the hearts of the hearers, and that understanding of the things of God, the truths of God, the treasure trove of your storehouse, some old things and some new come to the surface as you break this teaching, this understanding, this revealing open to us. Amen. Thank you for joining me. This is this particular session is going to be called Jacob's Trouble. The prelude to it is on the teaching part, is called Jacob's Letter, Yaakov's Letter. And as I was doing that study, line upon line, through the book of James, also known as Yaakov in Hebrew, it occurred to me that James, being over the first church in Jerusalem and the persecution that brought out was brought about at that time, had a very deep understanding, hands-on, sight there, experiential, of what the spiritual dynamics were that were that was hitting the church with the persecution that broke out after the resurrection of Yeshua our Savior. And that as we are moving back, sort of rewinding the tape from the ends of the earth back to Jerusalem, that there's nothing new under the sun. And as I have gone in and out of Israel, I have seen that the same spiritual dynamics work, or at work, that are in the book of James. The same relational issues, the persecution, the tongues rising up, and unloosing the gates of hell, the wealthy oppressing and exploiting the poor, favoritism being shown to them, what real prayer is about, how it looks, what the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man is. So I suggest that just as a foundational layer into what I'm going into in this particular study, you can go and listen to Jacob's Letter on the teaching site. This was the next step. The Lord began to, the Holy Spirit, the teacher, the counselor, reveal to me that as it was at this time of the early church and the conditions in Jerusalem, so that is being loose now in preparation for the return of the Lord, that the persecution is ramping up, that we will be going into a time of Gethsemane, of travailing prayer to birth the purposes of God, that that our Lord was betrayed and persecuted, betrayed, treacherously betrayed with a kiss in the garden before he was shed his blood for the redemption of mankind and for the redemption of the earth, that all things will be reconciled back unto him, and that his blood is crying out from Jerusalem. It speaks of better things than the blood of Abel, and is crying out for all things that were created in and through and by him and for him to be reconciled back into him, into the completeness and the perfection that he is authoring. And the blood is crying out for the life, for eternal life, for those who believe, and for those who won't, they will be cut aside. They will be cut down and they will be thrown into the fire and burned up. So this is a time of entering into Jacob's trouble. So it's the book of James. Jacob, James is trouble. Jacob, the son, you know, Israel was named. Jacob had his name changed to Israel, prince in of God. And let's have a look in the Old Testament. This is Jacob's trouble is a catchphrase for a certain condition that will be happening. You, very specifically to the people who are the descendants of Jacob. Now, I don't want to go into who's a Jew under Judah or all of that. We'll just stick with Jacob's trouble. And then I have another direction after this to speak about Zion and the children of Israel. But that's another study. To begin with, let's look at Daniel 12, verses 1 through 4. I will be reading out of the King James, maybe the South African scriptures. I'll pretty generally speak to that. If I change text, I will let you know. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which stands for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble. Okay. Such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But you, thou, Daniel, shut up thy words, seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. So let's take this from verse 1. Michael is the great prince, which stands for the children of God's people. Okay, he is the one that is over God's people. So who are God's people? Who are the children of God? All those who keep the commandments of God and faith in Yeshua. Are there different degrees of revelation? Some have not yet become children of God, but they have a degree of light, as it says in Romans. And so they will be counted by their adherence to the laws of God, the conviction of their conscience that's operating, because it takes the Holy Spirit to draw men to himself. God knows those are his. He calls his children out, and the fruit of God's children, the fruit of keeping covenant, loving God, and loving your neighbor as yourself, and that loving fruit has all the displays of righteousness, of patience, peace, temperance, long-suffering, self-control, etc., operating. So this is who Michael, the great prince, who's an angel, he's obviously a prince angel, and he is over the children of God, and he shall stand up. Well, that's a powerful move. In other words, he's going to take action. He is not sitting down, but there is a rising up to do something. And there shall be a time of trouble, it says. This is called, known commonly as Jacob's trouble. Jacob are often referred to as the children of God out of Israel. Those who are given the covenant to show them up for the nations. The understanding of who the one and only God is. And this is he's going to rise up when there's a time of trouble, because there such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. So ever since the time of nations, nation states, there will never be a time like this time. It is unprecedented historically. And at that time, God's people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. So God knows those are going to be written in the book, and when they are going to recognize Echad, that God is one, there's only one God. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth will awake. So these are those who have gone on, who have died. some to everlasting life, and some to everlasting shame and contempt. In other words, the dust of the earth shall, the blood of the earth, all the seas shall disclose those. This is a judgment time. But this is in this dimension. This is not in the Bema seat, the judgment seat, the councils of heaven. This is in, on this earth. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. So this is the condition that they will be full of light for those who are wise, who turn those to righteousness. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. So Daniel shut up and sealed the book, even to the time of the end, implying that the book, stating in this phrase that the book will be opened at the time of the end. And many texts, ancient texts, in the last 100 years have been opened up through archaeological finds, including the Dead Sea Scrolls and the Hammadi text out of Egypt, and so on. Not all of those books are from, the book, this book that he's talking about here, but they do have this book in them. And many shall run to and fro, so it is in this day, and knowledge shall be increased. Transportation and information. We are on the information, transportation. People don't, just stay in one place and stay one nation and don't go anywhere or don't do anything. They just live and die in one place all their life. That is what he is referring to. That these will be the issues, airplanes going everywhere, and information networks over the internet. This describes the time of trouble, such as never was. So Jacob's trouble is a time, an unprecedented historical time of trouble for the people of God, the children of God. Now, I just commented that this time, Jacob's trouble will be unprecedented historically as far as it's going to consume all the nations, the whole earth. But what has been will be and will be again. But that's to imply there are patterns to look at how this will open up and what it will look like from the heavenly perspective and why. So I'm going to go, therefore, to some passages that refer to Jacob's trouble and look at the patterns and see if this is evolving. And we are definitely in that time when the great Prince Michael will stand up for the time of trouble for the children of God. Ezekiel 7, 1 through 9. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, also thou son of man, thus saith the Lord God unto the land of Israel. The end has come upon the four corners of the land. Now for God's people, that would be for the four corners of the earth. Now is the end come upon thee, and I will send my anger upon thee, and will judge thee according to your ways, and will recompense upon you all your abominations. And my eyes shall not spare you, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense your ways upon you, and your abominations shall be in the midst of you, and you shall know that I am the Lord God. How will they know that he is the Lord God? Because he's recompensing them. He's paying them back for their abominations and their unfaithfulness to God. He is judging them according to their sin and their disobedience and rebellion to God. Thus says the Lord God, an evil and only evil, behold, is coming. And end is coming, the end is come. It watches for you, behold, it is come. The morning is coming to you, O you that dwell in the land. The time is come, the day of trouble is near. The day of trouble for Israel, or Jacob, for those who live in the land. Now, this will be for the whole earth, for the whole earth will be troubled because of what? The abominations, the rebellion, because of the evil, and because of the sin, the whole earth will reel and groan with the judgments. And it is even so now that are upon the earth, that God is recompensing the ways of men upon the earth as they've defiled the earth back onto them. The day of trouble is near, and not the sounding again of the mountains. Now will I shortly pour out my fury upon you and accomplish my anger on you, and I will judge you according to your ways and will recompense you for all your abominations. And mine eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity. I will recompense you according to your ways and your abominations that are in the midst of you, and you shall know that I am the Lord that smites you, that strikes you, that puts the rod of his indignation and anger upon you. I heard all these people, you know, it's interesting. They said, well, God's got a 2x4. You always think he's going to knock you upside the head. Well, yeah, he's trying to save you from jumping into hell. God does, he is a God of discipline. And he chastises his sons. And he rebukes them, it says in James. If our earthly father did that, what wouldn't our heavenly father do that? And if it's not done, then you are not one of his children. If you are not coming under the rod of God's discipline and chastisement, his loving discipline in order to bring you to him, to save you from death and hell. That his blood is crying out. And don't take it lightly. You cannot take it lightly. So this is why the day of trouble, here it is. It's real clear. This is God's love, is that he rebukes and chastises and disciplines in order to bring correction, to stay on the narrow way that leads to life instead of the broad path that ends up in destruction. The destroyer. These are the abominations that cause destruction. These are the abominations. Abominations are what brings the destroyer into your life. You've opened the gates and said, come on in. I want to sit down. I made a covenant with death and hell. And then there's been a net of lies and deception that I've been snared in. That's what happens when you rebel towards God and his commandments. So if there's being blood sacrifices of abortions over the earth, that blood is crying out and is bringing destruction, if there is a homosexuality in embassies and consulates all over the world, homosexual gay parties, and all this occultism is being trumped up at the Olympics, and paganism, idolatrous worship of man's flesh and other gods, then this is an abomination, and God will bring recompense, and even now it is in the process of happening. Let's go to Jeremiah 51, 1 through 6. Thus saith the Lord. I love Jeremiah, by the way. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up against Babylon and against them that dwell in the midst of them that rise up against me a destroying wind. Oh, something, a destruction. A wind of destruction. Why? Well, let's look. And will send to Babylon fanners that shall fan her and shall empty her land. For in the day of trouble, they shall be against her and all round about. Against him that bendeth, let the archer bendeth his bow. Against him that lifted himself up in his brigandine. And spare you not her young man, destroy you utterly all her hosts. Thus the slain shall fall in the land of the Chaldeans, and they that are thrust through inner streets. For Israel has not been forsaken, nor Judah of his God, of the Lord of hosts. Though their land was filled with sin against the Holy One of Israel, flee out of the midst of Babylon, and deliver every man his soul. Be not cut off in her iniquity, for this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He will render unto her a recompense. So this is about the judgment of Babylon. There's a physical Babylon, historical Babylon, and there's spiritual Babylon. There are different applications of Babylon. Then there's mystery Babylon. But what it says in this passage is that God is going to rise up against this spirit of Babylon and empty the land and the people, and he shall surround her. And those that have brought destruction, him that bendeth, let the archer bend his bows, against him that bendeth, okay, against those in Babylon that came and were bending the bow, he's going to have archers bend their bows against him. And it's going to be not, there's not going to be any sparing. Well, let me just reiterate against the land of Israel that the slain shall fall in the land of the Chaldeans, and they that are thrust through in her streets. Because, why? Because Babylon came and attacked Israel. And so God brought a recompense back on Babylon. But Israel, verse 5, is not forsaken, nor Judah is God of the Lord of hosts, though their land was filled with sin against the Holy One. All right. God used the Babylonians as a rod of recompense and a chastisement because of the sin in the land of Israel. Even though they sinned against the Holy One, the Lord God Almighty of Israel. Now it says, flee out of the midst of Babylon and deliver every man his soul. Okay, it's by every person's soul is going to be judged according to their soul. Individually, every man, deliver every man according to his soul, according to the choices and the actions that that person makes. So you're to get out of Babylon and you'll be not cut off in her iniquity, because Babylon's going to get slammed. For this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He will render unto her recompense. All right. I want to also now go to, now we're talking about God's troubling because of Israel and the trouble that comes. Now this is Jacob's trouble is a time unprecedented in history, but there's been other troublings and dealings with the Lord. So we look at how he deals, because he says in Malachi, I'm the Lord, I change not. I'm the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So as we look at the scriptures, we see the consistency of God's principle and his character that is established. And then what is inconsistent in some of the translations of scripture, we say that is probably a mistranslation or misunderstanding. Major on the majors. The foundations, as Augustine said, the foundational aspects of our faith, we have to be in agreement. Let's look at Isaiah 6. Isaiah 36. How you, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction. Often the day of the Lord is known as, or sometimes can be referred to as Jacob's trouble, as a day of troubling. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all the hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt. And they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travails. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the day of the Lord comes cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. The abominations that cause desolation, destruction, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of the heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause their light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the gold wedge of Ophir. Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and in the day of his fierce anger. Okay, this is an illustration of why God brings on these troublings in the day of the Lord. Isaiah Zephaniah 1:4, the great day of the Lord is near, it is near, and hasteth greatly, even the voice of the day of the Lord. The mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, the day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon men, that they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord. And their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as the dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. For he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. Who is that? All of those who have come against him, all of those who have defied and sinned and committed abominations against the Lord God Most High, who blasphemed him. These are fearsome and terrible judgments. The Lord says he creates the destroyer. Let's look at Jeremiah 31. The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, saying, write all these words that I've spoken to you in your book, for lo, the days come, says the Lord, that I will bring against the again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, says the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. And these are the words that the Lord spoke concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For thus says the Lord God, we have heard a voice trembling in fear and not of peace. Ask you now, see whether man does travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail? And all faces are turned into paleness. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is turned into paleness. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. For it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. But they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto him. Therefore fear not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel, for Lord, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity, and Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid, for I am with thee, says the Lord, to save thee. Though I make a full end of all nations, whether I have scattered thee, yet I will not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. Now this is a very interesting scripture, because the Israel at the time of Jeremiah went into Babylonian captivity, and then it was that Daniel was raised up in the courts of Babylon, and the Israel was regathered back after 70 years into the land. But I do not believe there's been a complete fulfillment of this. This is a layered fulfillment, and now Israel has been regathered and given back to the land that God had given their forefathers. And he says that there's another judgment, that don't be afraid, even when I bring you back, none shall make you afraid, and God will save you and make a full end of all nations, whether God has scattered thee. Has that happened? I do not believe, and I have not found evidence, that all the nations that God has sent the Jews to during the diaspora, the dispersions, have not been made a full end of. And yet, when God does make, and this is the final full end of all those nations, which I believe is the return of the Mashiach for the second time, the second return of the Lord, and the Jews who are still veiled but love God, will see him for the first time out of Zechariah 12. They'll see the one they pierced, you know, and they'll great weeping and wailing will go up. A spirit of grace and supplication will be poured out. And it will be during a feast day, a fulfillment, because the Lord is the feast. We feast on him. We drink his blood and eat his flesh. We partake in his life that he's provided for us. Then when he returns and fulfills the Feast of Tabernacles, which is the feast in Zechariah that's kept in the millennium, the reign of the King of Kings over the earth, where he's established his throne in Jerusalem, But these Jacob, in Jacob's trouble, he will be corrected. But as it says in Daniel, it shall be a time, okay, never since there was a nation even to that time, that there's going to be an end to the whole, all the nations that have come against God's people. This has not happened. And this is, it looks like we're in travail. The whole earth is laboring and groaning and in travailing for the sons of God to be made manifest, to make an end to all the sin. So the earth is groaning under the sin. It's reeling in the heavens because of the sin on the earth and against God's people, against the children of God. All right, we're looking at Daniel. Let's go remind ourselves. The time of trouble. And it has to do with the children of the people and their nation. And that that those shall be delivered whose names are written in the book. Yeshua refers to this in Matthew 24 about the time of Jacob's trouble for the children of God, or the tribulation. That's great trouble. 24:21, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man should say unto you, lo, here is the Christ, or there, believe it not, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say, behold, he's in the desert, go not forth, or behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it or not. For as lightning comes out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of these days, those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heavens with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Well, let's look at Daniel 12. And there were several others. Michael shall stand up, and it will be a time of trouble such as never was. Great tribulation, and the people shall be delivered. Everyone who's found written in the book. Isn't that interesting? So here we go. Those who call on the name of the Lord. And this is a great, this is a dilation of what the Lord was speaking of. And alluding to this time of Jacob's trouble, you know, all of Israel will be saved, it says in Romans. Well, who is all of Israel? The children of God are all of Israel. Because all of man, Adam, we are one blood. And so the children of God, God's people, whom the prince Daniel rises up. Joel 3:9, let's look at this. Proclaim this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Make up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords, and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. I want to just stop right here. There's a scripture. This is over Yad Vashem. And over the United Nations, when you come down the corridor to the meeting, the United Nations Plaza in New York, it says, you know, beat your swords into plowshares and your, you know, your spears into pruning hooks. as though man thinks that he could ever bring peace on the earth. The absolute arrogancy of it. Well, yes, of course, we see the great need for peace. The great need for peace is the Prince of Peace. There's no, you know, in the world you shall have tribulation, but my peace I give unto you. Peace I leave you, not as the world gives you, because in the world you'll have tribulation, but the peace of God. That is the kingdom. This peace, this eternal, unshakable, you know, king who's coming, this Prince of Peace in his coming kingdom. But anyway, I just wanted to comment on that, because in Joel 3, it talks about taking your agricultural instruments and turning them into weapons of war. Let the weak say, I'm strong. Assemble yourselves and come, all you heathen. And gather yourselves together round about thither. Cause the mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be awakened and come up into the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there will I sit to judge the heathen all around it. Who's this? God. The valley of Jehoshaphat is in Jerusalem. Put you in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full. The vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall also roar out of Zion. What is Zion? That's in Jerusalem. It's an actual mountain. Or is it the heavenly Zion? Or is it the children of Israel? We'll expound that in the next on Zion. And utter his voice from Jerusalem. Ah, so here, it's the actual physical place. Is this heavenly Jerusalem? Or is this on Mount Zion in the city, Jerusalem, Israel? And the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. So shall you know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through her any more. And this is an end time fulfillment of the war and the great tribulation that's coming for all the nations to be judged by the Lord God himself. For the wickedness is great. The day of the Lord is near in the valley of the decision. What is the day of the Lord? It's a time of tribulation, a time of trouble. And there's a specific, this is specific to Israel and Jerusalem. And the Valley of Jehoshaphat is in Jerusalem. Zion, Mount Zion is in Jerusalem, little physical place. And Jerusalem is Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth shall shake in that day. And we're talking about the day of what? Jacob's trouble. And what does the Lord God have to say? What's my concluding scripture about the time of Jacob's trouble? For the people, the children of God. There's never such a time in all of history. Since there was a day of trouble, never since there was a nation, even to that same time. And God's people shall be delivered, those found written in the book. And the book of Daniel, the book shall be open. Isaiah 46:8. Remember this and show yourselves, men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. And I will do all my pleasure. Hallowed and almighty is his name. Father God, we thank you and praise you in the name of Yeshua, that you open unto us your book, and that it's given unto children and those who are spiritual to understand, and to those who are without your spirit, they cannot perceive accurately. you. We thank you and bless your holy name. May it always, for eternity, be exalted above all. In Yeshua's name, amen. God bless you.